Imagine a legal system cloaked in secrecy. Imagine being detained and not told of your crime. Imagine being labelled a terrorist and not being allowed to see the evidence against you. For many Muslims, this is a reality. In 2005, the British government ruled that it was against human rights laws for a terror suspect, both British and foreign, to be held in jail without trial. In response, it came up with the system of control orders, an anti-terror measure which is designed to restrict the liberty of those suspected of having links or future links to terrorism. But at what price does national security come?
She wanted to go to court and give a statement, you know, but obviously she's young.
My brother was living in this country and he was granted indefinite to remain in the UK. This was a decision by the High Court that my brother should not be deported and granted asylum, as the British government are aware that one of my brothers was killed in Abu Slim prison in Libya. On the 16th of May, you know, I was in my brother's house and, you know, police officers came and the press, you know, the bell, my brother opened the door. They said, who's Faraj? My brother said to them, he's my brother and he's in the guest's room. I was arrested and then they told me, before I was arrested, sorry, they told me, you are in this country as illegal immigrant. There was a translator with them. I asked him, I said to him, would you explain to me the reason why they came, what they want from me? He said to me, these are the anti-terrorism special unit.
Faraj Hassan was arrested in the UK in 2002. Since then, he spent about 5 years in various prisons around the country and then released in 2007, when he was placed on a control order and reunited with his family.
I felt scary because I never knew him. He was like kind of scary for me because of his beard. And because in Pakistan, people have beard, but it's like here, my father was here. And I feel like scared, I never knew. And I start asking my mom, who's that? She told me that's her father, and I couldn't believe it. I thought that I never had a father.
Faraj is still living on a control order, but tells me that others like him have recently been freed by the Home Office. I travelled to Bolton, a town in the northwest of England, to meet a man who just one day prior won his case against the government.
Is my friend is a best my friend is a صاحبي صديقي جدا هو قديم نعرفه قديم يعني وعائلتهم تعرف عائلتنا وكنا نلتقي معهم كثير الان 5 سنوات انا ممنوع ما شفته ما رايته يعني كنت اراه دائما ولكن الان لا استطيع ان
هاشم is my best friend we've been arrested in 2005 together but we then separated we charged separate charges and since 2005 I've never seen him. Yeah, I've seen him once in a court, but we're not allowed to talk with each other.
This is Kaleem Bullivant. Today he's a free man, but not so long ago he too was placed on a control order.
No.
Undermining me.
I could say something, but I won't. No.
When he first told me, to be honest, I asked him to wait for a week, and he did wait a week, so that would give me time to talk to him and try and understand. I mean, I was really worried because it wasn't that long after the 7/7 events. And
wasn't it before that? It was before 7/7.
And then it must have been after, not that long after 9/11. And like, yeah, you'd have to be blind not to be aware of the public attitude towards Islam and Muslims.
Prior to embracing Islam, I was working in nightclubs and sort of
not really achieving very much. I was having a lot of fun, partying a lot, living quite a hedonistic lifestyle, but I didn't find it very fulfilling. And then I met an old friend from school who I hadn't seen in about 5 years, and we started talking about Islam.
Kerry, you know, seemed to become quite focused, quite... I noticed quite a lot of positive changes in him. And so my anxieties dissipated quite a lot, you know, and I thought it was a good thing.
We have a different take on stuff, don't we?
I do stuff.
You do. Well, the curse of parenthood is you want certain things for your kids, and they may not want the same things you want.
تركت ليبيا أو هجرت في خرجت من ليبيا هجرة الوضع في ليبيا كان يعني متأزم جدا كانت فيش لا يوجد قانون في ليبيا لا يوجد في حكومة يعني تكون يعني على تلبي رغبات الناس أو تلبي حاجات الناس أو حكومة رشيدة فخرجت حتى تمهيدا لتغيير هذا النظام في ليبيا في يوم 13/2005 قبل الفجر تقريبا دخلوا تقريبا 15 وهكذا ما يقارب 15 إلى 20 شخص دخلوا بالأسلحة الرشاشة وقصروا الباب وكانوا الأطفال كانوا نايمين كانت ذلك الوقت كان عندي 2 بنات زوجتي كانت يعني في حالة صار لها شبه إغماء كسروا الباب ومسكوا البيت أخذوني من فراش النوم يعني أخذوني وربطوني ومنعوني من رؤية أولادي ولو حتى النظرة الأخيرة وأنا لا أعرف أي شيء لماذا تكسرت الباب لأن حقيقة لا أعرف جاءوا بي أنا لا أتكلم اللغة الإنجليزية لأن ما صار ليش فترة طويلة كنت هناك يعني في بريطانيا وجاب ورقة ويقرأ علي وأنا ما فهمت أي شيء أصلاً ووجدت نفسي في سيارة البوليس ما فهمت أي شيء يعني حتى ممكن بعد نصف النهار يعني بعد المغرب فهمت ليش اعتقلوني إنه ما فيش مترجم ولا أي شيء وقلت لك أنا عندما جاءوا إلى البيت لم أعرف إنها شرطة إنجليزية شرطة ليبية شرطة ما أعرف أي شيء أنا ما أعرف يعني حقيقة وأنا كنت مهلوس يعني كنت نائم يعني فربما كنت تصرف ثاني يعني كان غير لائق بهم ولكن انا ما فهمت اي حاجه يعني وحتى تقريبا بعد حوالي 10 ساعات يعني بدات افهم الذي حصل يعني رايت البي بي سي ورايت التلفاز حتى فهمت ان هم قبضوا على ارهابي وقبضوا على كلام كبير انا اول مره اسمع به يعني
so I booked my ticket packed my bags actually in my bags I had toys and flat footballs for the kids and I don't know if it had been useful but that's what I thought do you know what I mean at least go there with something and when I got to the airport we were stopped by SO15 anti-terror branch and we were prevented from flying a short time after that I was put on a control order
كان أفضل لا شك أن أفضل بالنسبة لي أنا أفضل أن قريب من أبنائي وزوجتي وحتى أكون موجود داخل هذا البيت وأكون أخرج من غوانتانامو هذه بريطانيا أخرج منها شوية يعني أكون أخذ عندي حرية أكثر شوية كان أفضل بالنسبة لي ولكن عندما واجهت الكنترولور تقريبا 3 سنوات نفسيتي حقيقة تعبة جدا جدا وتمنيت أكثر من مرة تمنيت أن أرجع إلى السجن أنا أشوف في مستقبل أولادي أمامي أولادي ينظرون إلي لا يعرفون أي شيء يجد عندي التاج في رجلي هذا الساعة أبنائي يظنونها ساعة يقول لماذا يا أبي الناس كلهم يلبسوا الساعة في اليد وأنا أنت تلبس الساعة في الرجل
Well the rules I think they believe me I sometimes forget some of them not forget in a way I want to breach But I forget because many of them basically restricted from every single thing.
The actual nature of the orders themselves vary widely. There have been people that have been under as much as 20-hour house arrest. That's been limited down to 16 hours now is the maximum they can do.
I'm not allowed for mobile phone. not allowed for internet.
All of your identity documents, you must allow police to search your property at any time that they wish.
Not allowed for arranged meeting. I have to be subjected to curfew, geographical boundary.
They're banned from internet, they're banned from having mobile phones, you can't have guests to your house, even your children can't have their friends come over.
Not allowed to permit more than one visitor to enter the residence while I'm in the residence.
Tags, you must phone a monitoring company before leaving and entering the house, or phone at certain times.
Officers that can come at any time to my residence. They can search any time. They can take any item.
عندما أخذ إذن نمشي حتى إلى المحامي المحامي في بيرمنغهام عندما أخرج من منطقتي هي منطقة ضيقة صغيرة وعندما أخرج إلى بيرمنغهام لابد أخذ تصريح من قاضي يوافق على نمشي إلى بيرمنغهام.
There are a whole raft of other conditions that there are some that they always put on. Like, for example, surrendering your passport. You're not allowed to go to any train station or airport where there's international flights or international train travel or ferries, which means that if you travel around London, you can't go through King's Cross.
Anyone knocks the door, you'll see everything messed up. My wife is running upstairs to put her hijab. Shaima gets scared. I just try to keep everything fine. Sometimes, you know, just my sleep always connected to the door.
Last year, they came at 7 o'clock in the morning and they finished at 5:30.
Did they find anything?
Yeah, they found a lot of things. They took my favourite CDs.
What do you mean they found enough things?
Last year.
What they found? What do you mean last year? What they found? They found a bomb. Well, they took some CDs, Quranic CDs, and they took some letters we received from Muslim community. And yeah, they didn't find anything. They took some things. They robbed our property. That's what happened.
Yeah, they didn't find bombs.
Stop.
Okay, so it's 124. Well, this one, part of it was within my previous boundary, but then for some reason, I think about a month after my release on the Sayak Bay, you know, they changed it. And they said, we're going to give you another area instead. And they took this one off. And I wasn't happy. I said to them, I want this one back because this one is the city center and it is close to my house. And the new one they gave me, which is about 3.8 miles away from here, is too far.
What would happen if you actually walked onto that side of the road?
If I go there and breaching the conditions of the control order.
But how do they know that you would cross that side of the road?
I don't know. Within the past 2.5 years, I never attempted to breach or just. I haven't got no reason to do that, you know, because I'm thinking about myself and my family as well before that. But
tag alert them to the fact that you?
I believe they got that sort of technology. Yeah. I believe there would be a word that.
Can you show your tag now? What is your tag on your leg?
If you can just go to that corner, if you don't mind.
Of course, anyway.
Yeah, it's fine. Do you know, I mean, this is one of the things, obviously, it makes you feel really, really bad, because it's not an issue about embarrassing, just about everyone start looking at you and everyone start judging you, and it's really, really...
Yeah, I understand, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, but I don't mind, I mean, it is... It isn't here, as you can see it now. And
that's why you cannot cross.
Yeah.
لأن أن أن أشتغل ولكن أنا إنجينير كمبيوتر. هم يقول لا يسمح لي بلمس الكمبيوتر ممنوع علي لمس وضع صبعي على الكمبيوتر ممنوع. ممنوع أدرس أي دراسة فيها كمبيوتر. ممنوع أدخل كولج يوجد فيه كمبيوتر. يعني طلبت أن أدخل أتعلم الإنجليزية فقط الإنجليزية الـ SOL beginning فرفضت لهم أوفيس قالوا أن يوجد في الكولج وليس في الفصل يوجد في الكولج في كمبيوتر في إنترنت
فهو خطر علي وخطر لا يمكن ان يسمح لي ان ادخل في في الانجليش.
The Asian way of washing up, having a dishwasher.
No. They put they put a little bit of, they put fairy liquid on the sponge.
Oh, right.
And it leaves the hot tap running.
Ah, but that's not a very green way of washing up.
No, it's not a green way of washing up.
Yeah, my mum didn't know about my control order for probably the first 9 months of me being on it, maybe even a bit longer than that. I was very worried for her. She suffers from a severe mental illness, and I was very worried that the stress of knowing about it and the stress of it that it would put on her could make her relapse and become ill again. And in the past, when she has been very, very ill, well, it's not very nice, put it that way. She attempted suicide once, just before I went to university. And so I was really worried about the effect that it would have on her. But that lasted for about 9 months. The police raided my house and arrested me on a trumped up charge that I was trying to obtain a false passport, which was later dropped and there was no evidence of it at all. But they used it to search my house and search my mum's house, and they, when they did, obviously, that she found out what it was about, and they told her, and it's stupid. She asked them, why are you here? What's going on? And we can't really tell you, but the evidence against him is very, very strong. So, when it a couple of years later came out that the judge said there were no reasonable grounds for suspicion, you realise just how much the police talk out of their other places. But yeah, so that's how she found out, and bless her, she was so supportive and she believed me and trusted me straight from the beginning.
Yeah. It was a huge shock because, you know, I had police hammering on the door at 6 o'clock in the morning and they came bursting in and, you know, where is he, you know, and I didn't know he shouldn't have been here. I didn't know why they wanted him. And, you know, it's in connection with false identities and he should be here. Well, why should he be here? He's required to live here. It's on a control order.
So I had to move out. So I went and rented a room somewhere else. And then I'd have to travel to my mum to help her and look after her. Actually, when I was had my trial, some of my charges were the fact that I didn't stay at the address I was supposed to, because I stayed at my mum's a couple of nights to look after her while she was really ill, and they brought this up as charges against me, saying that I breached my control order. They were going to send me to prison for 5 years potentially because my mum was ill and I'd gone to look after her for a night and stayed at her house. When your mum phones you up in tears on the phone and asks you to come and stay, you're not going to not go, do you know what I mean? Especially with her in her condition, control order or not.
You never want to think that you're the one who's caused pain to someone that you love.
But it's not you that's caused that.
But I feel I should have been able to protect you from it. I know,
that word again.
I know.
Damn that word.
I know, but I might not have gone out and written the control order myself, but you went through that stress because of something that was happening to me. And that's what these control orders do. They don't just punish the person that it's happening to, they punish the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
They punish everyone around, anyone whose sphere of life is touched by that person. Mm-hmm. Is affected by the control order.
Because I'm no longer able to work and I have used up in its fullness my sickness pay,
I'm now having to apply for employment and support allowance and various housing benefits, which I'm trying to sort out at the moment. And it's kind of difficult to, you know, I'm going to have to undergo health assessments in relation to these benefits. And how do I go about explaining that a lot of this is due to, you know, my experiences and the stress, the cumulative stress of coping with what's happened to us, to Kerry and to me. Devastated, you know, because I'm struggling, and although benefits is not a lot of money, it's going to make the difference between surviving and not surviving without it. I don't know what will happen.
عندما خرجت من السجن أسكنوني في بيت قديم جدا منطقة عنصرية يعني كان منطقة يعني كانت أو من ليس منطقة عنصرية ولكن أقصد أن كان كلها شباب تينيجر يعني شيء يخوف ونحن مسلمين نحن نسكن المسلمين شيء مكان يخوف فعلا لا يوجد مدارس لا يوجد كانت كلها مصانع وأصوات مزعجة البيت كان خربان بمعنى الكلمة كان لا يوجد فيه شيء يعني يستخدم كان كله ربش فقلت لهم غيروا بيتي كان يوجد فيه الراتس كثير كل شيء قلت لا وأنا قلت للبوليس أنا أريد أن أنتقل من ذلك البيت أن أبنائي أصبحوا يرعشوا يعني هجمت عليهم أكثر من مرة هذه الراتس يهجم على الأبناء هذه ابنتي يا أنفال ما شاء الله يا خمس سنوات داخل السادسة أنفال إيش بيت أم أحسن بيت هذا بيت الأول
هذا أحسن
بيت الأول إيش كان إيش بيت الأول بيت حلو بيت الأول بيت الأول أول قديمة ذكرية بتاع في الإنجليزية و... حلوة مش حلو
مش حلو
ليش
هيك
شن فيه مش حلو
هيك
لا شن فيه كان فيه
كان في مطبخ
وفيه فئران وكذا كيف كان كبرها فار
ها
كيف كان كبرها فار
صيدة
وإحنا قتلناه أنا أترك كل شيء في المطبخ يأكله الراتس الخبز كله أنا يعني أنا أشتري الأكل أشتريه لي أنا لأبنائي وللراتس يأكلوا معي يعني فقلت أكلم الهوم أوفيس أنا أريد أن أغير البيت قالوا لي لا عندما صورت بالفوتوغراف كل الراتس وهذه الموجود في البيت وكل شيء مكسر صورته في البيت فأعطيت نسخة إلى المحامي وعندما جاء الهوم أوفيس قلت لهم هذه نسخة سوف أبعثها إلى الصحافة لأن يعني كنت إيش عملت فيه أنا في عائلتي وضعتوني هنا فبعدها بأسبوع فقط تقريبا قالوا سوف ننقلك إلى بيت جديد وتنتقل منطقة أخرى.
I asked my mom yesterday could I have rice for you then, but she told me no, we don't have a lot of money to buy it, and she told me that we don't have rice, and we do have a milk, but my mom told me to leave it for my brother because he drink milk, so my mom told me we leave it that for next days and have money.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for the time.
In a few weeks, Faraj will know whether he'll be taken off his control order or whether he'll continue to live life under these crippling measures.
Yeah, you see, this is the computer hasn't got nothing. I mean, they pretended they gave it to us because Shema can't do her homework. It's pointless. It doesn't really, no internet. You can't use nothing. I mean, even the programs, if you want to get any programs, yeah, you still have to upload them from there.
Well, as for the verdict, you know, Mike UC said it might take 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, this court is still hold their secret evidence, you know, and they don't want to disclose it. Obviously, in the secret, they keep twisting things up and they might convince the judge. So, inshallah, I hope everything goes for my favor and can move on.
Okay, then. It's fine. Thank you very much for your visit and
just to hope everything goes okay and we might next time be able to invite you inside our own house and we show you our hospitality, but we're really sorry. I hope you understand our situation. So.
I might see you next time. So take care. Alaykum salam. Alright then.
Yeah, the control order had a massive effect on me, physically and mentally. I started becoming very isolated. A lot of people within the community, when they sort of found out, they didn't want to have anything really to do with me because they were worried that if they do, then they might get the same problems that I was under. And so gradually the pressure of all of it really starts to pile in on you. It was making my mum very ill, and it led to the breakup of my marriage.
In 2007, Kaleem Bullivant sparked a nationwide manhunt after he absconded. He cites the stress of living under a control order, as well as the subsequent breakdown of his marriage, as the main reasons for running away.
It was at that time that some people came to me and said, look, there's a way out, we can get you away. And you won't be on the control order, and do you know what I mean? We can get it all to go away. And I suppose at that moment, with everything that was going on at that time and in that frame of mind, I just took it. Well, I've been gone for about 5 weeks, and when I first went, there was a real sense of euphoria. But a couple of days after I left, they broke our anonymity orders and released the story to the press. And suddenly, we were sort of the front page news.
You know, when Kerry absconded and it hit the press, it was really bad here. I had the press camped on the doorstep, and I actually had to go and stay in a hotel.
I got visited by the police. I got visited by the Secret Services. When I say visit, I met up with the Secret Services.
Yeah.
You know, the police were fine. To be honest with you, I could tell they'd been I could tell by the way the police were that, like, you know, this had gone bad. This wasn't just a case of there is a guy that's on the run. This kind of made, even before I knew all the politics, this made the idea of control orders look bad. I don't know if it made the government look bad at the time, I don't know, do you know what I mean? But I could tell there was a sense of urgency to get you back.
Yeah.
And not just because they thought you was going to blow something up, but I honestly thought if they didn't get you back, they were going to get a lot of stick for it. That's what I kind of felt at the time. They were nice though, they were helpful. It was always reiterated to me that they weren't trying to get you in trouble, they just wanted to get you back before...
Yeah, they were lying to you.
Something bad happened.
They wanted to lock me up for a long time.
Yeah.
So, I came home, I spoke to my mum, and we actually phoned the police on the Saturday and told them that I was back and I was willing to hand myself in. And my solicitor came and made the phone call. And they said, oh no, don't worry, he can come in on Monday morning. I'm like, pardon me?
After Kaleem handed himself in, he was then placed in Belmarsh prison for a number of months. It's an experience which many controlees say they've been through, like Faraj Hassan.
I was in 5 different prisons. The first time I came to Leicester prison 2 months, and then I was taken to Wormwood Scrubs for 3 months, then to Belmarsh prison for 1 year. Then I was taken to Brixton prison for 2.5 years, back to Belmarsh for 3-4 months, and then I ended up in Longlaughton prison for the last year. So altogether was exactly 5 years. Officers were racist, they were so nasty, uneducated. They have no respect at all to Muslims. They have no knowledge or experience in how to deal with foreigners or people who come from different background.
دخلت إلى السجن في سجن لونغ لارتون وفي قريب من ضواحي برمنغهام على ما أعتقد. أنا ما أعرف حتى فين أصلاً لأنه هو عندما حضروني خرجت ما شفت السجن من الخارج. ولكن عندما درست أو عندما سألنا المدير السجن ما هو هذا السجن فقال هذا قاعدة أمريكية قبل في الحرب العالمية الثانية كان قاعدة أمريكية حربية تحول إلى سجن، فكان شبيها بغوانتانامو. غوانتانامو يعني غوانتانامو بدون سيكرت ايفيدنس، سيكرت تشارج، بدون محاكمة، بدون أي شيء.
Many people they just look at prisons in Guantanamo and other countries. You see in other countries they torture people physically, you know, but in here they torture you mentally.
عزلونا نحن العرب، عزلونا في وينج خاص بنا، لا نخالط أي أشخاص آخرين، عمرنا هاي سيكوريتي، تفتيش عندنا، نعمل يفتشونا كل في الشهر، بعضنا يفتش في الشهر عاريا من ملابسه يومين في الشهر.
Well, you know, I think once, you know, once I was angry and I broke the TV and then I had to pay it, you know. That's all. So I just slapped the TV and I smashed it on the wall.
The feeling of being confined and locked in and being treated like dirt. But alongside that, there was a brotherhood amongst the people in prison, especially the people who were in on similar sorts of charges and similar sorts of cases, where we knew that the majority of us hadn't done anything wrong and that we were being oppressed purely on the basis of the religion that we'd chosen.
Sometimes, you know, if my next door neighbour was a brother or a friend, we just keep chatting from the windows, and sometimes if it's cold weather we keep chatting from the central heating pipes, you know. There are some holes so we can't hear each other.
The people I saw in there I'll never forget, because some of them were the best people I've ever met in my life. I saw things that will stay with me forever.
In 2007, the United Kingdom and Libya signed the Memorandum of Understanding, an agreement covering various issues such as extradition and prisoner transfer with the promise of a fair trial. However, Faraj and Ziad were sceptical of such a deal.
لا يخفى على أحد أن عندما ذهب توني بلير رئيس الوزراء السابق لبريطانيا، عندما ذهب إلى ليبيا عمل معهم يعني كونتراكت على الغاز، ويقدر تقريبا ب 10 بليون باوند. عندما رجع توني بلير من ليبيا جاء هنا، اجتمع المؤتمر الشعبي العام يعني يسموه البرلمان في ليبيا، اجتمع قالوا أن أي دولة تدعم المعارضة السياسية ضد ليبيا سوف تحرم من الكعكة الليبية، يعني يقصد أنهم يعني المصالح والصفقات. وبالفعل يعني عندما جاء توني بلير هنا، في بعد ما خرج هذا القرار ثاني يوم تقريبا ألقي القبض علينا ثاني يوم يعني.
And then the last year was that memorandum of understanding. It just mainly the British government to Tony Blair was trying just put these people in an aeroplane and send them back to Gaddafi. Well, obviously the first thing I would expect when I'm going there, I'm gonna be tortured badly for many reasons, you know, especially you know what they accused me with in Italy and all those sort of things. So in there they just all the aim you have to admit what it has been said about you, whether you're guilty or not guilty. The main thing you have to say, yes, I did it.
كان يظن الحكومة الإنجليزية كان يظن أن هذا كلام ليس صحيح، ولكن عندما أرسلوا فاكس إلى الحكومة الليبية إن في حالة لو سلمنا الأستاذ هاشم إلى ليبيا ماذا تصنعون به، فقالوا بكل صراحة وبكل وضوح إن إذا وصل سوف نعدمه. هذه الذي القاضي أعطاني حق أن نخرج من السجن نبقى على الكنترول أوردر.
هذه كانت في السجن أرسلت هناك. هذه كلها في السجن. هذه الرسمة أخذوها هوم رايتس، بعثوا رسالة قالوا أن يريدوا أن يأخذوها، الحقوق تصبح لهم هم يعني.
أنا هوايتي الرسم الساخر، أستخدمه كثير في السياسة، ولكن واجهت كثير من الصعوبات والمشاكل في عندما بدأت أرسم داخل السجن. واجهت كثير من المشاكل، من ضمنها مدير السجن نفسه، مدير السجن نفسه قال لي لا يسمح لي بالرسم على الورق لأنه يعارض الحكومة البريطانية،
قلت له أنا في بريطانيا. قلت أنا في بريطانيا وبريطانيا عندها حرية. قال نعم حرية على الإنجليز فقط ولكن ليس أنتم عندكم الحرية.
This is for the deportation before. Next one is control order. Third, I don't know. Say next.
نشروها في تشانل 4 نشروها في معارض هذه الرسمة بالذات يعني لأنها كانت واضحة تعبر عن سيكرت الأدلة السرية تشارج
هذه. أنا أحب هذه الرسمة كثير يعني تعبر أن توني بلير يقول يعني نحن منعدبوش يعني نحن مش نحن نعدب ولكن نرسل لمكان آخر يعدب.
يعني لا أستطيع أتكلم اللغة الإنجليزية فوجدت اللغة التي يفهمها الإنجليز والعرب وكل اللغات وهي الرسم الكرتوني. هذه جديدة لم تنشر. هذه the new one is not before. This is بريطانيا. No, Britain is very very light outside. جميلة جدا من الخارج ولكن عندما يأتي العالم ويرفع هذا control order هي غوانتانامو.
After almost 3 years of living under a strict control order, today Faraj will find out whether his case against the government was successful.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May I speak to Brother Muhammad, please? Muhammad. Faraj. Faraj, yeah. Hello, yes. No, it's okay. I'll call him back in Islam. He's on the other line. Yes. الحمد لله. الصبرين. This is my solicitor. السلام عليكم. How are you, brother? Okay. Awan. Allahu Akbar. Brother, 1 second, please. Sorry, brother. Thank you. Thank you very much, brother. Yeah. They're not going to appeal it. Allahu Akbar. That's the other thing, bro. I was worried about, man. Oh, really? Say again, brother, please.
You're free at last.
I'm free at last now. Allahu Akbar. Okay, wallahi, this is a very. Sorry, bro. I just wanna go and let my wife know. 1 second, please. Yeah. Mshayma. Mshayma. Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. Khalas. Oh. خلاص ربحت الكيس ما يعملوا فيه. سير برضه جس سلمان يو دادي وان ذا كيس يا جزاك الله خير برضه محمد ميلاري ودي ان شاء الله سيد الله يفرح فيك بارك الله الحمد لله رب العالمين. This is a very I don't know I think I feel the same time as I said you know when I was released from prison that first day you know when they put me in the house. I just was quite hesitant to walk on the road and I see cars gonna crush me. And now, even he told me, but I still myself, like, I don't believe it. Like, I still, something is still, do you know what I mean? But I hope everything goes all right. Hello, you're right. Morning, you're right.
Recognize you with the glasses.
Hello, you're right.
Can we have a few minutes of your
time? Yeah, it's fine, no problem, yeah. Thanks. Hurry, you can put it my wife inside if you need to. Your officer.
Have you heard some good news today?
Yes, I did, yeah. Actually, my solicitor has rung me now. And,
okay. Well, we're around here to confirm that in writing to you. I've got documentation that's signed by the Home Secretary.
That's fine. You can have a seat, sir, if you'd like to, you know.
That's okay. I'll just read out this so that it's...
Yes, fine. Do you want me... Sorry, whatever you want me to.
Wherever, you
yeah, 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 yeah. That's fine, no problem.
Okay. I've got two documents to serve on you today.
That's fine.
I'm a contact officer from Leicestershire Constabulary.
Yes.
I'm signing these documents on you today on behalf of the Home Office, and they're signed by the Secretary of State, Alan Johnson.
Yes.
I'll read out, it's only very short, I'll read out what he's written to you. And now I have another notice, which I'll let you read at your own. It tells you about making arrangements for your accommodation and the fact that, importantly, at 12 o'clock today, the electronic monitoring company are coming here to remove your electronic tag and the monitoring box.
That's
so you need to be in at 12 o'clock.
That's
and I'll be back to oversee that.
Hi, Anne. It's Faraj speaking. Just to let you know that I won them. I destroyed them. And they couldn't even appeal. And anyway, sorry. Now we take these security ceilings now so we can use the internet. Inshallah, in the future, get internet for Shaima. She can do her homework. We can communicate with our family. We can see what's going on in the world. Now I'm just going to put some clothes in here. Just going to do my Duha prayer because I'm going to London today.
In a High Court case, because there's a lot more complicated matters of law, the judge hears the cases and then goes away for about a month or so and thinks about what his decision is going to be. Most of the time they don't tell you what their decision is going to be until after that month when they come back and they read out their decision. In our case, he told us that the decision would be that he would be finding in my favour, that the control order would be squashed. So when we got called back to come back the month later, that morning before going into court, I thought I'd take the Home Office a little present. So I got a knife and I cut the tag off, and I quickly unplugged the phone before it started ringing and beeping and stuff. I shoved it all in some bags and all of the other monitoring equipment, shoved it in some bags and quickly made a beeline for the train station before the police could come, because at that point, legally, I was still on a control order, and hence I was breaching it in that last few hours. And I went to the High Court, and as we walked in, all of the Home Office people were sitting on one side and I was sitting on the other. And before the judge started talking, I went over to them and emptied it out in front of them. I said, "I think this belongs to you." And I went and sat down and heard how he found me innocent.
Ah, 2 months. I am here 2 months, but I am on three. Is government gave me a letter, 6 weeks out.
Do you know where you want to go? No.
No. No. No.
فرحت كثير جدا بخروجي، ولكن أحاول في مستقبلي أن أكافح بريشتي وبرسوماتي، ربما تكون هكذا، وحتى لإظهار حقوق الإنسان أكثر، وحتى إظهار احترام للقوانين.
السلام عليكم. Oh brother, how are you? Right.
To London. No, inshallah, we might be moving on Thursday morning, inshallah. Okay, brother Khalid. May Allah reward you, brother. Thank you very much, brother. Assalamu alaikum. This is after we went, after we won the control order, obviously, I went with my family to London. The Shaima, this is reason part. This is myself and Shaima near London Eye. And this big bang. Behind us. I felt I took them like for holiday, which they deserved for a very long time and they didn't have for nearly 8 years, you know.
Paddy, what's the password?
Sorry, I found the daily day.
I'll show you where the editing suite is gonna be, where initially going, so for the editing suite. This is gonna be our film room.
When I first got this flat, I decided that I wanted a couple of rooms because obviously I wanted a room just for film. And so that's why we've already started putting the posters up and everything. You know, surround ourselves. So hopefully this is where all our future projects are going to be made. Yeah, we're going to get a desk in and edit it, you know, put a more a bigger editing system, a full Mac Pro up. So yeah, this is where, at the moment, unfortunately, it's the laundry. The girlfriend is using it for the laundry, so you know, that's it. But this is it. This is where we store a lot of our stuff. A lot of our stuff goes in here. And the exercise bike won't be staying here. I've told my girlfriend, definitely not. Kind of spoils the atmosphere a little bit.
Arthur's sort of one of my best friends from even before I was Muslim. I've known him since I was about 11. And he and I have both got an incredible passion for films and filmmaking. And we formed a production company together, Black and Blue Productions.
The idea at the end that he's deaf was meant to be a twist.
Yeah.
But I don't think it wasn't much of a twist, was it?
لبناتي داخل السجن يعني عملتها بنفسي يعني فأنا فرحت كثير جدا بفرحة زوجتي فرحت كثيرا جدا بفرح أبنائي هذا أول شيء ولكن أنا أشعر الآن في حياتي أمامي مستقبل كبير جدا لكن ما أعرف كيف أبدأ به.
In early 2012, control orders were replaced by a new regime known as TPIMS. For Faraj, Kaleem and Ziad, the restrictions have now been lifted, but it's clear the trauma of the measures will continue to have a lasting impact.
If we just let it disappear, if we don't say what it is that we think is wrong, and if we don't stand up for what we believe in, then it will only carry on happening, and the legislation will get more and more and more draconian. It's essential that those that disagree and those that believe in the fundamentals of human rights and of justice by law, that they stand up and speak out for it as loudly as possible. And probably I'm not achieving much, but I feel I have to do whatever I can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says no soul is tested more than it can carry, and you are only accountable for what is within your ability to do.